This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Honeybees, as you've heard, aren't doing so well. Hives are being abandoned like ghost ships. A deadly brew of fungus, mites, and pesticides are taking down the bees, and a parasitic fly can sting them, turn them into zombies. Their wild cousin, the bumblebee, isn't faring too well either. And one of their biggest plights might be climate change. Researchers say some bee species habitats have retreated up to 180 miles in the last 40 years. Their results were published this week in the journal Science. Jeremy Kerr is the lead author on that study. He's also a professor of biology at the University of Ottawa. He joins us from CBC Studios there. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
You looked at how bumblebee ranges have changed across North America and Europe. Give us an idea of what's going on.
Okay, well, what we did was we looked at 67 bumblebee species for 110 years, and we had about 423,000 observations for those 67 species across both Europe and North America. And what we found was that over time, and very much unlike many other different kinds of species, bumblebee species have not been tracking further north or into areas that used to be too cold for them, but that have warmed up. And then the other part of that range question that we looked into was to ask what's happening in southern areas and in hot places. And what we found there also is something very unusual, and that is that the ranges are kind of rolling up from the south. They're collapsing inward with increasing heat in southern latitudes. And a lot of these effects are actually happening at exactly the same pace and with very similar timing across continents.
So the bumblebee range is sort of being put in a vice. They're not moving north, but they're being pushed up from the south.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're being crushed by climate change. So if you think of a geographical range of a species, it's a sort of series of areas within which you may find a population of that species present. That looks a little bit like a big rug if you were to spread it out on a giant map of North America or Europe. And what we're effectively doing with climate change, our best measurements suggest, is kind of rolling that rug up from the south. And the net effect is that their ranges are constricting through time, but the pace at which this is happening is frankly quite alarming to us.
Give us an idea of that pace.
Well, what we're seeing is that across Europe and North America, again, the patterns are actually statistically indistinguishable. The further south you go, the more range these species have lost from those southern areas. So there's a very strong relationship between where these bumblebee species are in either Europe or North America, and how much range they have lost from the south. So in southern United States, for example, like parched, hot places like California, bumblebee species in the last 35 years after 1974 have lost up to about 300 kilometers or maybe 180 or 90 miles from the southern boundaries of their range. The patterns are just the same in the south of Europe.
Now you're talking about an effect of climate change. How do we know that it's not pesticides or something like that?
Well, that's a really important question. And one of the things that we know from multiple lines of evidence is that pesticide impacts and habitat losses kill bees. And those facts are not in dispute, and particularly a dangerous group of pesticides, which are actually designed to kill insects, called neonicotinoids, should come as no surprise that those insecticides also kill bees. Now, we measured the use of neonicotinoid pesticides and pesticides more generally across the United States, an area for which we could get very, very good data because the government in your country provides terrific access to this information and pretty much the only place that does that. So we could actually measure this. And in the very particular way that we looked at things, that is at the boundaries of where you find species, the shifts are, first of all, they began before neonicotinoids were in any sort of meaningful use in a geographical sense, so it predates the use of neonics. But we have also found that, statistically speaking, bumblebee species are at the boundaries of their range, just as likely to have done well in places where there are lots of neonics being used as to have done badly. So statistically speaking, at the boundaries of range, we know that our effects can't be attributed to things like pesticides. But we also looked at changing land uses as carefully as data could possibly let us do, and those effects are also not what we are observing here. We're seeing a climate change-related signal.
Mm-hmm. Other pollinators, like butterflies, have been moving northward. Why are bumblebees having such a hard time moving?
Well, that's a really good question, and this was an opportunity for us to think a little bit about evolution. If you go back in evolutionary time and look at the ancestor of butterflies, that's a group of organisms whose ancestry is in tropical environments. So the evolutionary ancestor of butterflies evolved in the heat, and the species that are the daughter species of that evolutionary ancestor through time have, to a large degree, retained that ancestral tolerance for warm conditions. And as a consequence, we think butterfly species are actually doing all right in many areas, and they're expanding their ranges to the north and so on, which is not to say that climate change is a good thing for them either. But in the case of bumblebee species, they have a very distinctive evolutionary origin. They evolved in cool and temperate conditions in Eurasia. We know that from really great research that's been conducted in the United States. And we tested for an evolutionary signal among our bumblebee species in this study to see whether or not closely related species responded in similar ways to shifting climatic conditions. And what we found is that the more closely related bumblebee species actually are, the more likely it is that they share an intolerance for extreme heat conditions.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea of assisted migration? In other words, having humans intervening in relocating the bees, should we pick them up and move them?
So this is something that we need to have a conversation about, and I don't think anyone would suggest that we should just stop what we're doing and start moving bees north, because there may be unintended consequences, and we have to be very cautious to be aware of what we're doing. So we need a thoughtful conversation about this. But while we are conducting research into issues of that sort, we also have an opportunity to do a better job managing areas where bumblebee species are currently found. So we can think about reducing unnecessary applications of pesticides, maintaining field margins with wildflowers, which are great nectar and pollen resources for bumblebees, and planting native wildflowers in our own gardens. And all of these effects will help hold on to the pollinators and buy us some time while we come to grips with the question of assisted migration, but also the much more important problem ultimately of dealing with climate change as though we actually wanted to solve that problem.
That's a big, big political problem more than anything else.
It sure is.
Could climate change also be a factor in colony collapse in honeybees?
Oh, no. That's a question that I am just not qualified to answer. I would love to be able to comment on that, and to be perfectly honest, my expertise does not run very deep when it comes to honeybees.
Are they so different, honeybees and bumblebees?
Yeah, they're really different. Bumblebee species, of course, are a very diverse group. And if you look across North America, honeybee species, this is a single group or a single species that's been introduced from Europe. That's why we call it the European honeybee, Apis mellifera. And it's a kept animal. It's like sheep and goats and cattle. It is an agricultural assistant that we cultivate. Bumblebee species are wild animals, and unlike honeybees, tend to have much, much smaller colonies. So just picking up those colonies and moving them north is quite a different sort of prospect with bumblebee species, because they don't live in boxes with tens of thousands of individuals in them. Their natural history is very different, and colonies don't persist in a general sense from one year into the next.
Very fascinating. I didn't really realize the difference, but now you've made that very clear and very interesting, Jeremy. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Jeremy Kerr is professor of biology at the University of Ottawa.